There is power, power, wonder and in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder and in the precious blood of the Lamb. Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one. Shake hands with everyone beside you. Say the Lord's going to bless you. Praise the Lord. Isn't the Lord good? Praise God. God bless each one, you know. He's maybe seated. I was thinking what David Wilkerson had several visions that God gave him. They're really the same as the visions. The seven things William Branham saw before the end. And David Wilkerson's things is very similar in them. But one of the things he said, which really is interesting, what he said that God told him, you're going to have to encourage my people. This is the time they need encouragement. God's people need encouragement. Because of everything that's happening in the world, they need encouragement. And that's what he said God told him. So I believe that's good. But we need encouragement from the Lord. Something to help us, whether it's so many different things we go through, we just need encouragement from the Lord. Praise the Lord. So I want to just share something. I've shared it before on healing. I want to share it again. I need a touch from the Lord myself. Maybe sometimes you need a touch from the Lord, but the Lord will heal. And the prophet of God said, the right mental attitude towards any promise of God will bring it to pass. Praise the Lord. I just want to share a testimony. Me and Sharon, we really needed a financial miracle during the week. And there was a brother put in tithes on Wednesday night. And I all week was praying. We just needed money for someone. We hadn't got it. I know you might think I'm rich, but I can tell you I'm not. But the Lord met the need. There's a brother paid tithes Wednesday night, and the Lord bless you, brother. And you don't know what that done, but God just, we needed it. We had no groceries or anything. I know you think that's hard to take in, but that's the truth. And God just meant the need. So I appreciate everyone that does pay the tithes. And, you know, when you pay everything out, sometimes you have nothing. But there's one thing, when you give unto the Lord, he'll bless you. Pressed down, running over the top. And him that goeth forth bearing precious seeds, sown in tears, will doubtless return again, reaping a harvest. That's what the word of God says. Praise God. So really, thank the Lord. Sometimes you maybe put in a tithe or a gift and you don't think anything of it, but then you don't know what it does. And then sometimes the Lord can bless me and I can bless someone else as well. And that's how the Lord works. Isn't God good? And just thank the Lord so much. Praise God. Now, just some announcements. Brother Gary's going to be preaching tonight. Pray for Brother Gary. And then next Sunday night, Brother Billy's in Ava Street. And then the next Sunday, Brother Frank's in England. So I would just appreciate our Brother Gary and his faithful song leading and everything. And pray for Brother Gary for all these meetings and for here tonight as well. And we just thank the Lord. And I know we said the other week we're looking to try and get our own hall, but we appreciate what we have here. Till the Lord takes us whatever road, we certainly appreciate what we have. We're not saying we don't, we do. We thank the Lord for it. But we would love our own place. There's no doubt about that. And we want to keep praying, keep believing, keep searching for that. Praise the Lord. This morning we want to pray for Derek Hines as well, Matthew's father-in-law. He's not too well at all. Matthew rang me to pray for him. The man's not well. They went on holidays and he shouldn't have went, but he didn't want to let them all down. And he wasn't well at all. He wasn't fit to go out or anything. And Matthew's asked me to pray for him. And we have a lot of people away on holidays, different things. It's good to see Mark and Alvin, the family, back as well. There'll be no Wednesday nights the rest of this month because of the muse in the hall. And there's a lot of people back and forth away. But we'll continue back with Wednesday nights, August. The Lord willing, the Lord's always willing. So just for this month, there'll be no Wednesday nights. With the way things is, but we do appreciate what we have got. Praise the Lord. Let's turn in our Bibles this morning till Matthew 8, verse 16, 17. And I know we know these truths, but I want to share them again. And it's good to hear it, isn't it? Good to hear the word of God. Praise God. Let's stand our feet when we read verse 16 and 17 of Matthew chapter 8. Verse 16, 17. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Let's just bow our heads. And if you have a need this morning, lift your hand up before the Lord. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are privileged, that you have given us a name which is far above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ. And we can come in that name into your divine presence by the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb of God. Lord, we do come in the name of Jesus Christ, pleading the merits of the blood of the Lamb of God this morning. Father, I pray you'll cover us with your blood. Wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb, and we shall be whiter than the snow. Purge us, sanctify us, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Lord, I ask you for every hand that's raised, you know every need. I thank you for the need you've met and what you're meeting and what you're going to meet. Lord, will you bless those that's raised their hands? Will you meet their every need? Will you answer the open prayers, the private prayers, those that have loved ones on their heart? Lord, will you do it for them in Jesus' precious name? And Lord, for our children, grandchildren, husbands, wives, still not saved, but bring them all before you. And we pray you'll save them and cover them with your blood. We pray for Derek Hines this morning, Lord Jesus. We heard he's got saved, and we give you the praise. We pray you'll touch him from the crown of his feet, from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet, that you'll heal him, make him well. Lord, give him a few years yet that he'll be fit to serve you and praise you. In Jesus' precious name, bless Matthew and Lauren and all the family. Lord, I do pray as well for Allison, Pastor Ken's wife. Lord, that you'll touch her as well, that she hasn't been well, that you'll do a miracle upon her body. The doctors might know what's wrong, but Lord, you're the great physician. And we lift her before you, Pastor Ken's wife, and we pray in Jesus Christ's name you'll heal her and you'll touch her this morning. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Father, for those in their holidays, give them a good time, bless them, strengthen them. We do pray for the backslidden this morning. We think again of our brother Idris. Lord, he's precious to us. We pray for him. We ask for him. We pray you'll speak to him. You renew him. You restore him. Let you bring him into fellowship again. And Lord, we pray for George and Winifred. Touch the both of them. Heal them, Lord, and deliver them. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Father, we take the Holy Spirit right now. And we say that every other spirit be subject to the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. And you'll have your way in our meeting in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I really love these scriptures. Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5. It's where it's been quoted from in Matthew 8. When he says, Isaiah the prophet himself said. And we read from verse 4 and 5 of Isaiah 53. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions and was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes or wounds we are healed. Praise God. That word, borne our griefs, means sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses. Himself. Thus for the doctrine comes substitutionary work. Because Jesus took our place. and all our sicknesses, and all our sins, all our infirmities, our sorrows, our pains, our diseases, every single thing was placed on him on the cross. He bore the burden alone. He himself took the sins of the world upon his own body. That's why a little baby, what doesn't know right or wrong, it can go to heaven because of Jesus, what he done on the cross. Because you can't judge it till it comes to an age of understanding. That could vary. I don't know what age that would be, but I believe that child's saved until it comes to the age of understanding. And us that were born sinners, and everyone is, we know that. But when we come to an age of understanding, we have to make a choice, a decision to take the Lord. And then when we do make that decision, we are saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We accept him. We believe in him. And everything was laid on him. Every one of us, our sicknesses, our diseases, our distresses, every pain, everything we're going to ever go through, Jesus took it upon himself on the cross. The Bible goes further and said he is touched by the feeling of our infirmities. And the Christianity is superior to Buddhism or Mohammedanism or any other isms, because we have a living Savior today that is seated at the right hand of the Majesty in High, and the Bible declares him to be our High Priest, who is touched by the feeling of our infirmities. So when the believer suffers, the Lord senses it and feels it, and praise God, he prays for us. Hallelujah. That's why we need to pray for each other and love each other. Praise God. And God is love. Hallelujah. I thank God that his love never goes up or down. The devil will try and tell you, and all of us will make mistakes, and when you make them mistakes, the devil will tell you, you've let God down, and he'll give you a whole list of stuff, and maybe God doesn't love you like he used to love you. But I want to tell you that God's love for you remains the same. Now, we know we're living in Laodicean age, Laodicean condition, where the love of many has waxed cold. We know that. But the Bible wants us to be stirred, that we will remember our first love. I believe the key message today is to turn us back to our first love, that we're to remember our first love, that we're to fall in love again with the Lord afresh, that we're to recognize his promises, his blessings, his benefits. All these were attributes in him ever before the foundation of the world. In him was the attribute to heal, to save, to deliver. And all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, everything was in him right at the beginning. And their attributes, and them attributes have to be expressed out. Thank God for it. It's remarkable that the New Testament translation is given by the Holy Spirit is even more emphatic than the old one, that Christ carried our infirmities and he carried our sicknesses. That's what it said in Matthew 8, that he carried them. He carried them to the cross. You know, when you listen to the story of James White, and it's on our website, omegaministry.co.uk, it's on the website. You could go in there, and it's on our website, James White, and his testimony of how he saw the whipping of the Lord, that the stripes that was laid upon Jesus is for our healing. And he saw them cut the things that they'd him tied up with, and he fell into the dust after they almost beat him to death. And you know the devil would have killed him at the whipping post if he could have, but God didn't let him. Because he says, I must needs set my face as a flint. He had to go the whole way to the cross. But the devil tried to kill him before he went to the cross. And you know that scripture says the bulls of Bashan have compassed me about. That's the demonic powers of hell went around him. But not only did they go around him, but he done one better than that on them. He went into hell itself, and he plundered hell. that he might populate heaven. He broke loose them keys of the devil, of death, hell, and the grave, and he rose triumphant on the third day, and he said to Peter, I give you the keys of the kingdom. In my name, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Romans 4:25 says, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Jesus Christ was delivered up to death. Romans 4:25. He was delivered up to death for our offenses. Every single one of us offended God. Every one of us was transgressors. And the penalty was on every one of us was a penalty of death. But Jesus took the penalty of death that was due you and me. He paid a debt he never owed. I owed a debt I could never pay. But Jesus paid my debt on the cross. And he took death for me. And he swallowed it up in victory at Calvary. And he now is my resurrection and my life. His life had become my life. And it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. Here's the rest of it. The hope of glory. Amen. We have a hope this morning within us. The hope of glory. Amen. And Romans says, hope maketh not ashamed. Romans 5, hope maketh not ashamed. For the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost given unto us. We have a hope this morning that the world doesn't have. Verse 5 says, but he is wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him with his stripes. We're healed. That word chastisement, needful to obtain peace and well-being for us, was upon him. With his stripes, we're healed. We're made whole. Made whole. If you believe the blood of Jesus can cleanse your sins completely, you don't believe the blood of Jesus cleanses some and leaves some. It does a complete work. Is that the truth? Well, then if the blood of Jesus can cleanse all sin, then the stripes Jesus received can completely heal us. Completely. We can be completely healed by the same power of God and the same work. It is fighting against Scripture to deny these verses. We know that. We cannot deny them. Himself took our infirmities, bore our diseases. The removal of our diseases is included in Christ's atonement along with the removal of our sins. Listen to this. The word bear implies substitution. Suffering for, not sympathy, suffering with. Christ has borne our sicknesses. He didn't suffer with us. We never suffered with him. He suffered alone. Remember that. And God turned his back on him. God couldn't look on it. And the Bible says in the Psalms, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus bore it alone. William Branham said some wonderful things about that. He said the whole creation blacked out. The sun and the moon and everything blacked out. And you know there was 3 hours of darkness. And when you go back and you take that phrase scripturally, you have to go back to Genesis. And when you go back to Genesis, here's what you read. Darkness covered the face of the deep. Then the Spirit of God moved and light came forth. Then you come up to the book of Exodus and you see in the book of Exodus there was gross darkness that could be felt. It was so dark in Egypt with God's judgment they could feel it. And only those under the token will be saved. But then God moved. When I see the blood, I'll pass over. And Jesus on the cross cried those words, it's finished! And the light sprung forth. Hallelujah. You think of it, he took your hell, my hell, your suffering, my suffering, in those 3 hours of darkness. He paid the ultimate price for the removal of our sin. Not a covering of it, removal of it. He took it that we no longer carry it. We no longer need to carry the pain and the hurt and the suffering. We can give it over to him. He is more than able. Hallelujah. And he can do exceedingly abundantly far above what we can think or ask. The removal of our diseases is included in Christ's atonement. You see, if Christ has borne our sicknesses, why should we bear them if he's bore them? People preach it's God's will. If Jesus Christ paid it all, why would someone else have to pay it? Then you're telling me Jesus maybe didn't do the right job. But I'll tell you that you can't talk like that, because Jesus done a job no one else could do. Do you realize there's not another prophet or priest or king could do it? God searched through all of heaven. He couldn't find one willing to go. But then we come to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten, special, unique son. He was different than any other man. He was born without sin. He had no sin. He knew no sin. God was in him in fullness. The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelt in the Lord. He wasn't killed by the Jews. He laid his own life down. And he says, I have power to lay it down, and I have power to raise it again. Isn't that wonderful? And Jesus was raised from the dead. God raised him. How many knows that? God raised him on the third day, triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. Many believe that God sometimes heals the sick, but they have no personal knowledge of Jesus as the indwelling, ever-present healer. They know nothing about the many facts that prove the physical health is part of man's salvation. It's part of it. They see others healed, but they question whether healing is God's will for them. Even as a preacher, you can see people healed, and you're not healed yourself. But the Lord can heal the preacher, the deacon, the elder, the brother, the sister, the boy or girl. God can heal absolutely anybody, because he's no respecter of persons. Remember that. So God can do it for me, he'll do it for you. Amen. And we need to confess him just as we pray and we thank the Lord for saving us. And we ought to. We need to thank the Lord that he's our healer. And we need to confess it with our mouth and believe with all our hearts. If it is God's will, you see, people can spend so much money. I've heard people saying it's not God's will for me to be well, but they spend money to get well. If it's not God's will for them to be well, why do they spend money to get well? That wouldn't make sense. But it is God's will. The Bible says in one scripture, it's not God's will that any should perish. The Bible says in the Old Testament, if you walk upright before me, I'll put none of these things upon you that are brought upon the Egyptians. And we are God's people. Now we're going to have sickness. We're going to have things that will attack every one of us. But we can get the victory over them through Christ. Amen. We can have it. The Bible reveals the will of God regarding the healing of the body as clearly as it reveals the will of God regarding salvation of the soul. It's absolutely clear. God doesn't need to give any special revelation on his will to heal, because he's plainly revealed it in his word. He doesn't need a special revelation. When he's definitely promised to do anything, his promise to heal are as much a revelation of his will to heal as his promise to save. You see, let me tell you this story, and it's a true story. You know, it was Jack Cole's meeting. Jack Cole and one of his services, so a young boy came with the braces. He had leg braces, he couldn't walk. And he came on the platform and Jack Cole prayed for him. God healed him. And he took his braces off and he was healed. And he walked perfectly on the platform, and he walked perfectly for several days. But he lost his healing. And his parents took it that bad. They took Cole to court. They took Jack Cole to court. And Jack Cole was going to represent himself, but on the day of court, Gordon Lindsay stood up. Who's ever heard of Gordon Lindsay? Gordon Lindsay was a powerful man with scripture and things. He stood up to represent Jack Cole. And they brought forth the story that Cole had announced the boy healed, and then several days later, he was bad again. So Gordon Lindsay said to the judge, have you ever heard of Peter? And he said, the Lord told Peter to walk on the water. And Peter walked on the water. Isn't that right? But then Peter took his eyes of the Lord and he sank into the water. And the judge said, case dismissed. That was it. God heal him. But I'll tell you one thing about Peter. How do you think he got back to the boat? Now, I don't believe that God, that the Lord carried him back to the boat. But I believe when Jesus took him by the hand and he lifted him out of water, I believe the two of them walked together back to the boat. Because the faith was lifted again. And he walked back to the boat with Jesus. And every one of us might have a time where we sink in the water as it was. But the Lord knew that. Come on. And he takes us by the hand. And he ever leads us. He's ever beside us. The Bible says he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He never leaves us. And we can walk back to the boat with the Lord. So even if we fall short, we do something, whether it's a sin or whether it's in the line of unbelief, the Lord can forgive us and heal us, and we can go on in faith. Thank God for the blood. I believe in recovery of all that was lost in the fall. All that was lost, the first Adam. The first Adam plunged the whole race into universal condemnation, universal separation. And God himself come down into the garden, and God sacrificed an animal and made them clothes because they were naked. And you know Eve blamed the man and Adam blamed the woman. The one blamed the other. And we know that Adam wasn't deceived, but Adam willfully did it with his two eyes open. But yet when you come up to the book of Romans, you says, it says that because of one man, it never mentions one woman, it says one man, sin entered into the world. Is that right? Because Eve was deceived. But Adam done it with his eyes open. He wasn't deceived. He knew what he was doing. But he loved Eve. He loved her. Just like Christ loved the church. And just like Adam took Eve. Eve would know what you done. Adam took her because he loved her. Because God gave her for him for a helpmate. And Jesus Christ paid for the church. In her sin, in her fallen state, he loved the church and he took the church. And here's one for the devil. The Bible says God's going to have a spotless, victorious church to present before the Father. Somebody says, how's it going to happen? God's going to do it. Because the Bible says the gates of hell's against the church but not prevail. So all the sin entered because of one man. But then righteousness came because of the second Adam, the Lord from heaven. And we know the Bible says that the first was Adam was of the earth, earthly. The second Adam's the Lord from heaven. He's heavenly. Then we know that it says, as we bear the image of the earthly, that's your first Adam, we shall bear the image of the heavenly. Amen. We're going to be changed. One day we're going to get a body change. And we won't go to heaven in the flesh and blood we're in. We will be changed. And we'll go to be with the Lord. And whether we meet the Lord in the air and we're physically alive when he comes, or whether we go on and our body's in the grave, that body will be resurrected. For the dead in Christ rise first. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. The Lord's coming first, people. Through the fall, we lost everything, but Jesus Christ recovered all through the atonement. It was in the day of atonement that God said, Leviticus 25, verse 13, in the year of Jubilee, ye shall return every man unto his possession. I tell you, well, because of what Jesus Christ done for us on the cross, we can return to our full possession. That is health and salvation in the Lord is our full possession. Now, many believes that this morning. That's the word of God. Now, let me just give you some thoughts in this order that Jubilee. Now, we're going to have communion service. I won't hold you as long. The order of this Jubilee. First, the atonement. Then the sounding of the trumpet of Jubilee with the glad tidings. Ye shall return every man to his possession. So now the order is the same. So in the atonement, back here in this atonement, you had first the atonement, then the sounding of the trumpet, then the Jubilee, the sounding of the glad tidings. That's the way they've done it in the Old Testament. But what have we got in the New Testament? First, we have Calvary. We have Calvary. Then we have the sounding of the gospel trumpet. Now there's a trumpet you want to blow. I think, did a brother Andrew preach a bit about blowing the gospel trumpet when he was here? He did, didn't he? You blow the gospel trumpet, but there's a lot of people that they are not blowing the gospel trumpet. They're blowing a trumpet, but it's bringing forth an uncertain sound. A prophet preached and warned us about that. He says if it blows forth an uncertain sound, you can't be prepared for war. And there's a lot of uncertain signs been blown. And you know the very thing when I told you in Revelations, the first love, that's the thing they don't want to preach. Do you notice that? They don't want to preach about that no more. We've moved beyond that. Where have they moved to? How can you preach the gospel without Christ being in it? You've no message. You take the cross out and the blood out, you've no message. So the gospel trumpet, then he's borne our sins, borne our sicknesses to be sounded. That's the gospel trumpet. It's not just he saves. That's part of it. But the rest of it is he saves, but he's borne our sin. He's borne our sicknesses. Praise God. And you blow the trumpet to every creature. It's all. Not the chosen few, but everybody. Whosoever believes can come. Showing us that we may return every man to his possession. When you blow this trumpet, it's telling a drug addict on the street, the Lord loves you. You can return to your possession. You know, I see some fellas on the street, and I'm not criticizing nobody, and I'm not mentioning any names, but the way they seem to work is they stand there ready to preach, and they see somebody that's a sinner, and they pick at them. And they emphasize the sin they're living in. Sure, they themselves are as dirty and filthy as the man they're picking at. And if they think they weren't, there's something wrong. Because every single one in the eyes of God is either saved or not saved. Isn't that the truth? Now, I'm not saying you can use the Ten Commandments, but if you deliberately do it, if it's deliberately done, and you pick somebody out, and you know what I mean, you know what I'm saying. But what about preaching the love of God? What about preaching John 3:16? God can save the prostitute. What about Jesus? I must needs go through Samaria. I tell you, he went to a woman that none of the religious world would even dream of going to. He went to her. The Lord sent him to her. And the Lord saved her. The Lord delivered her. He said, give me a drink. She says, it's not customary for you to ask that of us. And you know the Lord discerned the secrets of her heart. Now listen this morning. When God in the 20th century came back again and sent the spirit of Elijah, according to Malachi 4, verse 5 and 6. And God in the 20th century in a man discerned the secrets of the heart. What did they say about it today? I wouldn't believe that stuff. That's what they think of it. And it's no surprise. Because when Jesus himself was on earth, and there's a woman that nobody would touch as they say a barge pole, but the Lord loved her. And the Lord saved her. And then you know the other woman was taken in the act of adultery and the one of the stoner to death according to Moses' law. Jesus said, he that's without sin cast the first stone. Now, I'm not saying we don't preach against sin, we do. I believe, you know, you can preach against sin. I believe that. But I believe the Bible talks about preaching the gospel for contention. Paul warns about that. There's some preacher for. Do you ever meet somebody in the first breath that want an argument? Do you ever meet somebody that want an argument? That's all they want, so good rye, an argument. They're not interested in what you believe, really. They just want an argument. And they're twisters. They do that, let's twist again, like we did last summer. That's the favorite tune. But the Bible says we're not to do that. Now, we're to stand what we believe. But I'll tell you what. You know, I preached many times in the streets for years. And I believe there's people called to do it. And it's good to do it. It's good to do it. But just to pick somebody out and do it, to show them. See, the fellas preaching was once as big a sinner as they were. Maybe worse. And then, it's the same, you go to a meeting and everybody, you know, when I started out, people wanted to hear everything I'd done. They heard us in jail. They wanted to hear all the badness Tommy done. They weren't worried how I got saved, really. They wanted to hear the badness. And that's the only reason they wanted me to come, because the new people would come to hear about the badness. But we can't glorify flesh. And we are not to glorify our past sins. We have to remorse, our repentance, our regret. That's real repentance. If we glory in sin, something's wrong. And the Bible goes further. The Bible says it's a shame to speak of those things which is done in secret. It's a shame to even talk about them. And you know things, what we can do can affect. You know it can affect things. And you know with the voting in this country recently, and without naming any names, but there's a man done a terrible thing. Now, don't know if he's guilty or not. It looks like he is. But that's destroyed everything. What he stood for and the whole organization, it's wiped it out. Let's be honest about it. They're finished. Finished because of it. Sin. Sin doesn't just affect the individual, but if you're in a group or belong to someone, sin can go further. It can affect so many things. Thank the Lord for the blood this morning. It fixes everything. I tell you, that woman at the well, she went up and she said, come see a man. He told me everything ever I did, is this not the Christ, the Messiah? He revealed her hearts. She got a drink of the living water. You know, in God's seven redemptive names, one of them is Jehovah Rapha. He gave them in the statement of the redemptive names, I am Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord and healer, the healer, the physician, the healer. What a universal promise regarding physical, mental trouble, any kind of trouble. There was about 3 million to whom Jehovah gave this promise, and it was meant for every single one of them. 3 million. That he gave this promise to meant for every one of them. And everyone that accepted it personally, the Psalm of David tells us, Psalms 105, verse 37. He brought them forth also with silver and gold. So God can bless us. Who believes that? I tell you, I need God to bless me. I'll take the silver, but if there's a bit of gold as well, I wouldn't mind it. Amen. God can bless you. How many know sometimes you need the Lord to bless you? We need the Lord to help us. And God can help us. He brought them forth with silver and gold, and there wasn't a feeble one among their tribes. God blessed them. He blessed them physically, financially, and spiritually. Every single blessing, because the Bible says, beloved, I wish him of all things that thou mayest prosper and be in good health, even as thy soul does prosper. 1 Peter 2:24, he his own self bare our sins on his body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. By his stripes wounds we were healed. It's in the past tense. It's done for you. You know how faith comes by hearing? Faith comes by hearing the word of God. It's so important to hear the word of God. You know, I was sitting in my office yesterday, and this thought struck me. I sit in the chair and have too many books, probably. But then if I go somewhere and see a book and I like it, I'll get it. If I can. And I buy a lot of second-hand books, get them cheap. But sitting in the office and looking around all the books of every sermon William Branham preached in 30 different volumes, David Mamola's Virgin, and the other ones, the red ones, Jim from England gave me them years ago. There's so many wonderful messages in them. A volume after volume of C.H. Spurgeon. Volume after volume. Hundreds, thousands of sermons. All sitting in the shelves. And I looked round at them. And here's what I thought. Here's what it says. If everything had been written what Jesus done, all the books in the world couldn't contain it. And when I looked round my office and looked round a bookshop, and you think of that statement, if everything had been done what Jesus done, and many of them books are wonderful books. And when you, if I was to go in my office and pull out the miracles in the books, in William Branham's sermons, in Wigglesworth's, T.L. Osborne, Jack Cole, Smith's Wigglesworth, there's so many of them. And then I've even got Wesley's Diary, where he visited so many places, and the miracles John Wesley saw, We never hear hardly much about it. Brother Andrew's the same. You know, when Brother Andrew told me about that, what's the right name for care? Journal. John Wesley's journal. Andrew says to me, you know, I've got John Wesley's journal and it's powerful. And I says to him, you know, I think I've got it. And I was at a boot sale in England and I spotted this journal with Wesley on it. And I lifted it and I bought it for a lot of pence. Think of that. A lot of pence. And the things God used that man to do. And you look at all them people, all them books, the miracles they've seen. It wasn't them that done it. Remember that. It was Jesus. It was Jesus that done it. If all had been written what Jesus done, how many offices would it fill? How many libraries would it fill? The Bible says there wouldn't be enough room for it. There wouldn't be enough room to contain all the Lord done. Let us not be blinkered on what God can do, but let us have a big vision. A big vision for what God can do. I heard a story recently of Oral Roberts. When Oral Roberts went somewhere and there's a wee man. It was a country in Africa, brother. When Oral Roberts went to it, and this wee man had measured out the site he wanted to build a school for to help people and things for children and preach the gospel. And he had all the plans of it. And Oral Roberts was sitting like that, you know, whatever he was saying. And he sent him a wee note over. And I can't just remember the exact words of it. But your fella says to him, what's wrong, brother? And they got Oral Roberts up. And Oral Roberts says, what's wrong? He says, are you limiting God? Now, he was wanting so many acres. And he says to them, there's no use. No use at all, he says. You need to have a big vision for what God wants to do here. And you need 100 times that. The president of the African country stood up, says, you've got it. I'll give you it. And he gave what Oral Roberts asked for, which was like 100 times more than what they wanted. And they built all that thing. I think it's still or whatever country it's in. You could check it out. But your fella's vision was for just a wee place. You know, we're talking about a hall. A man rang me yesterday. And we're going to come to communion. I'm not going to preach no more. But I want to tell you this testimony. This fellow was a Baptist pastor. I can't remember the town, but it's over here in Ireland. And the towns went from me, but anyhow, he went to this man who was a farmer. He didn't know him, but that farmer was a brethren man. And he said to the brethren man, he says, look, we want to build a church to preach the gospel. We want to corner that field. And the brethren man says, right, I'll come down with you. And he took him down the field. And he says, you mark it out if you want it. And he marked it out. And the brethren man looked at it. And the brethren man said to him, that's not big enough. Where are you going to park the cars? No. Aye, but he says, but that's all we can afford to buy. He said, that's not what I asked you. I tell you, that's not big enough. And he says, give me them pegs. And the brethren man, he went away out to the pegs this road and way out that road. And he multiplied the size of it. And he says, that's the size you need for your hall, for your cars, for the entrance in. That's as much as you need. The rest, the other's too small. And he says, aye, but we couldn't afford that. He says, I know you couldn't. But he says, I can. And I'm giving you it for free. Free. And there's a church on it today. Free. You see, there's a wee verse says, come without money. Come without money. Now I know we're living in a world that I know all about it. When the rent comes in on the bills, you need the money. But we are serving a God that can supernaturally supply. How many believes that? God can do it. And if you need money, God can bring it from somewhere you don't even realize. Praise God. Brother, let's read that 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, and we're going to have our communion. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. Praise the Lord. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is a new testament, my blood, this do ye, as often as ye drink it, remembers of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are sick and weakly amongst you, and sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, and we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home. That you come not together under condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. Let's bow our heads. We're going to pray over the bread and wine. If you have a need this morning, just lift your hand again to the Lord and we'll pray for you. Praise God. And you pray for me as well. Heavenly Father, we thank you that there's healing in the atonement. We bless you that you paid it all. No one else could do it, only you. We praise you. We magnify your lovely name, dear Jesus. We pray you'll bless the hands that's raised. We pray you'll sanctify this bread and bless this wine as we partake and remember your body and your precious blood, reminding us as we do it how your blood cleanses us from all sin. And Lord, the bread is a children's healing. Heal people. We know this material's of no power in them. But in the obeying of your word and remembering you, there's power in the Holy Spirit. We ask for the power of the Holy Spirit to be in this room to touch your people from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. Minister unto them and heal them. Even me, Lord, touch us. Touch each one. Bless each one. Minister to each one as we acknowledge you in all our ways, knowing you will direct our paths. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask your sister if she could come to the organ and the deacons to come, the elders to come. Sorry, the deacons.